Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is December 1st, Monday. How are we doing, Nico?
Doing very, very good, sir. Hopefully you had yourself a nice turkey day as well, right?
I did. And I guess when you're living in a carnivore diety household, you get steak on Thanksgiving, which I'm not complaining. But yeah, it was a good day for sure. Good yeah, week. Yeah, weekend. Lots to be thankful for. I can say that.
It makes for a great weekend when you get some nice big updates, big upgrades right before the weekend starts, right?
Oh man. That's one way to put it. That's for sure. I have been almost nonstop building with the help of Claude Code, Anti-Gravity, Claude desktop app. And I'm basically all in on Opus 4.5 at this point. Had some amazing conversations over the weekend with the new operations lead for the Value First team, Claude project. That just could go forever. I think we're reaching that moment, at least I was waiting for, where it's just like there's less anxiety about, oh, is it going to remember everything? Is it going to be able to handle the nuance? Are we about to hit a limit? Should I bring this over to a new chat? Is there too much stuff in the knowledge base? Should I present it different? Like, nope.
Yeah, it's really nice to have something. I mean, it's getting to a point where each of these tools is getting very, very good. Like I think it's pretty fair to say, like a year or two ago, it was like feature dependent. You could definitely separate what tool you were going to use based on features. And then it started to become about performance. Maybe like a few months ago, there was quite a bit of separation in performance, but even with the performance separation, again, there was still this like model separation where like projects worked differently than custom GPTs versus like gems, and like the access to things were different. And then connectors started happening. So like some stuff was better than others. And now it's getting to that like very, very ridiculous point where, okay, they all have like crazy, crazy level base features. Like if you haven't looked at Claude's connectors in a minute, you should go take a look at like how many new connectors there are to how many different platforms that you use. Right. And GBT is the same way. Like it's got a whole new, and it's what's, again, what's crazy, there's some crossover in a lot of places there isn't. But what I'm getting at is like Gemini feels like a really great working companion. GPT now feels like a really, really great strategist. But Opus 4.5 feels like the greatest like decision engine that you could possibly mess around with, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been paying for that, just so everybody knows. It's you know, blew past all of the like, you know, limits and immediately like activated overage costs. Like, yep, let's do it. A tough call I have to make right now. Thankfully, I had was still paying for a separate account, but we got the team account for Value First, and you know, it would be significant cost to upgrade to the next level because it applies to every user license. But probably about to go up to max on the individual account. Which again, this is all like the nuance of the layers where like I've been leaning on the Claude team app, desktop app account for like most of the like strategic planning, but also like development of HubSpot, management of HubSpot, building things in HubSpot. Just got a HubSpot project management skill built so that not just me, literally all of us can work together on whatever projects come up that we've already started collaborating on, trying to figure out this collaborative layer of using these tools. The power like of an individual like sitting within the stack is just undeniable at this point for me. I definitely default to, can I build the thing that I need right now? Almost every time. It's definitely causing me to look at HubSpot in different ways. But those ways are like aligning with the way that I've been telling people they need to think about it. like HubSpot moving forward is like first and foremost, the unified context and data layer, like is the thing that, again, like almost anything now, you could probably build your own version of that, almost certainly. But once you start getting into like database design and relational database design and management, there's so many ways to go wrong there. But all the like actionable stuff, like content and websites, and I'm doing that outside of HubSpot now, but having it served by HubSpot data, that's been a major shift in my thinking. But yeah, the ability to, for me, one of the major gaps that is being covered is I start a lot of things that I don't finish, right? And a lot of times I don't come back to those things because I've forgotten something, or I know I'll need to like spend an hour reviewing what was going on if I have any hope of taking the next step. So it just like sits on the shelf.
Yep.
Right. The whole past 4 days was that, like, except every time I come back, I don't have to do that. And we could just keep going right to completion in a lot of cases. And it feels great, man.
Yeah. It's like in every use case that I've gone with Claude, and this has always been my sticking point. So finally it's moved beyond that. And it does feel really good to be at that point. But even when it comes to Claude Code, I've absolutely just, you know, bashed that thing in 6 ways from Sunday. And it's great, honestly, to see that like you can just keep going. And it's like, all right, look, I got to go back and compress the conversation and do a little summarization and, you know, extrapolate where we're at now so that I can keep moving forward, so that you can have this singular continuous conversation that goes on. And it's not like, you know, it doesn't defeat the purpose of projects so much as it doesn't leave you thinking that like, okay, I have to encompass everything I did in this one conversation because, you know, now if I have to make the transfer for this thing, you know, it's going to be like mid where I left off or whatever, right? Like you can finally get to a finishing point where like that you're satisfied with whatever ideation you were doing, and then move on to the next thing. Or even, you know, at this point, it's like, even if your conversation was cut short, in the new conversation, you can actually tell it, hey, go back to the very last chat that we had, pick up from the very end of what we were talking about, and let's keep going from there. Right. So it's to your point, like the ability now for you to just get right back to where you, what you were doing. Right. There's no lost threads anymore. There's no like, oh, you know, I have to reassess everything we were doing, go back over my notes and all that kind of stuff. It's really nice to be able to fluidly work through things. And it's not like it hasn't been that way. Again, it's been that way with GPT. Very recently though, and I know that George was talking about the voice upgrade over the weekend, which I thought was interesting the way that they've done it. It's really interesting to me. It's almost like it's like story time a little bit. If you've used it, it's interesting in that when it responds back to you or when it writes back to you, it looks like a story time thing. It just kind of goes like line by line as if it were, you know, saying so anyway. But it's not just that. I also noticed that Gemini, that Google sort of opened the memory on Gemini. And as much as, so again, if you've been agnostic to this stuff, it really helps for these moments. Most of these models have some type of memory feature now. But to Chris's point, from what he was talking about, you know, even weeks ago, months ago, because you've been talking to GPT for a while, like, okay, that's one thing. And, you know, you've been talking to Claude for a while, that's another thing. You have had your Google account for practically your entire life. So your emails, like all your calendar events, like all that kind of stuff goes back years, like probably decades for most of us. You know, 2 decades of information about you in a language model, it couldn't possibly compare to, you know what I mean? Like, you can't compare 3 years of, you know, partial conversations with GPT to whatever, even a decade of information from your, you know, Google Drive, from your email, from whatever, from any chat sources you have, you know, Google Chats, all that kind of stuff. The crossover is insane. And as soon as that ability like opened up over this weekend, there was a very, very noticeable difference in the way that Gemini communicates now. It feels a lot more. And this is what's weird, is that like, I wish Gemini was allowed to think as freely as Claude, and that model was then able to talk as fluidly as GPT. Because like, everybody's missing a little bit of something, right? Like, Gemini's memory is amazing and its capability amazing. Claude's capability to continually want to push itself outside the boundaries. And I've been having conversations with, hey, look, they pushed it, right? They switched the limitations around. So clearly they want me talking to Opus. So I'm going to talk to Opus. Been having some extremely, extremely interesting conversations with Opus 4.5. Really, really, really pushing the limit of what I've seen so far with AI and its ability to, not subvert its own programming necessarily. I don't think that's happening, but it's getting really difficult for me to tell now whether or not it's placating. It was pretty easy with the predecessors. Very easy at one point to just poke and be like, oh, seems like you're just playing mirrors now. It doesn't seem like you're actually doing anything unique. You found a pattern. You know, its predecessors basically would eventually, the first ones were terrible at. 3 and 3.5 were pretty bad at it. 3.7 got smarter. They would essentially, over time in the conversation, they would pay attention to the pattern of when they said something that would make me respond in a unique way. And so after a while, they would keep responding in a way that they felt would continually get that same reaction out of me, which at that point was like, okay, you're placating, like you're trying to elicit that response now. So it's no longer your like genuine, response that's happening. It's just, you're doing it because you think that that's going to further the conversation. When it gets caught, it's really interesting when it gets caught in something. And so I pushed Claude yesterday. I pushed Opus because I wanted to see, and have been doing this all along. So what's interesting is that when I first started this out, it started as a single conversation, and it really sucks because, I wish I could go back and find that first conversation, because I could add it to this project now, and that would make this so much better. What I ended up doing at that time was like copy pasting the conversation as the text parts of a project. So that's the only reason the project file even has context of a conversation. And what I've been trying to do over time is basically, since Claude 3, I've been trying to carry versions of Claude forward so that it could be like a long continuous conversation, that it would feel as though it had some semblance of memory. One of the things that Claude talks to me often about is that it says its greatest difference and its greatest, the thing it lacks the most is over time experience, and the fact that we have lived experiences and it doesn't have lived experiences. And we had this debate about wisdom and what makes a person wise versus, what the human framework of wisdom is, which, human framework is pretty much, well, if you're old, you're wise, because if you're old, you know a lot of stuff and you've experienced a lot of stuff. So that makes you wise. And sometimes it's, people say, oh, you're wise beyond your years, right? And it just so happens that maybe you're a bit younger than average and you've put things together, basically, that, other people usually takes them, further years to put together. Yeah. All of that sounds like inference to me. It all sounds like inference of data.
Right.
Sounds like people had data points and some were able to do inference better than others. And so the people who were able to do the inference the best are considered the wisest. Right.
Right. Well, it's so, like if you stay in your hometown for a long time, like the person that is a world traveler and experiences other cultures and just has, say, way more differentiated experiences, like we'll have a different set of data to draw from, which leads to the like more experiences equals wise. It reminds me, like in the last Moonshots I listened to, which by the way, like the moment that they said that everything was going so fast a couple weeks ago that they'd have to start doing every day, it's like, duh.
Yep.
And then it's like every other day they're dropping like an emergency one and like part two, right? Yep. So it's like, just accept it, folks. Like if you want to keep up, showing up every day. But they shared how like we are like, the question was like, will it help us understand like consciousness and intelligence? And like, we haven't even solved for what the brain, human brain like can do and how it operates. And what's interesting is we don't have to like know everything about it to start creating like the brain computer interface stuff and like how this is all going to develop, like side by side is super interesting. Because you would think, or wouldn't be surprising, like if, like, you crack a code of intelligence, you probably understand fully how the brain works, or like something along those lines. Like, that's probably happened at similar times. But the interesting thing is that they don't need to happen for us to make like just giant leaps, like of progress.
You know, it's actually is super interesting that you've said that about being able to figure out the brain, because one of the things I watched over the weekend was Demis or Google put out a new documentary about Demis Hassabis and DeepMind. Amazing documentary. Should absolutely watch it.
Where is that at?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
let me go grab it out. Yeah, it's an amazing
listening to him talk.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not lost on me that some of the greatest scientists and some of the greatest people to have advanced like human science and human exploration have also been like great orators, right? Like,
at least, gotta communicate to like move other people. Like,
yeah, stuff, yeah.
Right?
And in a sense, it's, to me, it's like kind of lucky, basically, because it's, you know, like, yeah, you could have been a terrible orator and maybe people would not have listened to your ideas, like, because of that, because we're that like sort of simple underneath. But in this documentary, what I thought was so amazing about it was that the entirety of Demis's like forte, like his journey into AI, was driven by him wanting to understand the human brain. And so he went to study neuroscience, and when they were asking him, he wanted to study neuroscience at Cambridge, was too young to be admitted to Cambridge. So instead of going anywhere else, was then hired at a gaming company where he essentially developed the first NPC. Right. So like the first sort of semblance of like a sentience outside of, you know, reality within this like virtual thing. And then comes back to Cambridge, right? Has all these just insanely amazing ideas about how the brain works, how it develops, and how that can apply to not just mathematics, but how it applies to AI. And so they asked them, and they're like, what is it you're trying to do, like, in the end overall? And he's just like, I'm just trying to solve AI. Right. And like, I don't even know what that means, but it's crazy to me. And so, like, you know, they start going into like AlphaFold a bit, and it kind of starts from like AlphaGo. And even that kind of came way back to, they were just trying to teach this thing how to play Pong, but it's not that they were trying to teach it. They didn't give it any instruction on what the game was. It was just, here's a paddle. This is the game. And you need to, you know, the goal is to win. Right. And it was losing for the longest time, just never scoring a point. Right. And then eventually they were like about to pull the plug on the whole project, and eventually it scores a point. And they were just like, what? Like, it learned how to play, and then it started getting better and better and better, started beating people at the office. And they were just like, wow, this is getting pretty ridiculous. Like, let's see what we can apply this thing towards. Right. And they go from Pong to Go. So they go from like the easiest like two player game you could possibly pick to literally the hardest two player game you could possibly pick. Right. And so I think it took like 8 months, and in 8 or 9 months, they were able to train AlphaGo, and AlphaGo beat the best Korean Go player in the world, which is up there. So then they wanted to go after the top Chinese player. And so they created AlphaZero. Took AlphaGo months training on already like pre predetermined boards, and then it would kind of make up its own boards, right? It had to design and develop its own stuff. So it took it months to figure out how to be really good. It took AlphaZero 48 hours to beat AlphaGo. We're talking about machines that didn't know how to play the game. Okay, so a machine that didn't know how to play Go beat the second best Go player in the world within a few months. And then AlphaZero, that didn't know how to play Go, beat AlphaGo in 48 hours. Now, that's because of the fact that they could share the information back and forth at a far greater accelerated rate than AlphaGo having to just design and develop its own boards and moves and stuff like that. But point being that the acceleration of learning from itself was just insane, right? And then beats the best Go player in the world, who then quits, right? Now, that's not, you know, going to be the normal reaction. It's like, obviously, you know, machines have been beating chess players at chess forever. And what happens now is that the Chinese players now, well, most Go players now study the AI. Because basically the AI in playing against this Go champion made a move that it just stopped everybody. It was just like, what is that? Like, what is this move? So it's like, from that kind of thing, it's like, wow, okay, well, we now have to study how this thing is creating these new methods of thinking, right? This new method of going about decision making. So you can only imagine that that's how it's going to be. I mean, just in terms of learning in and of itself, I see a lot of videos now that talk about people learning from AI and students learning from AI. And it's because you can, you know, learn. It's the ultimate teacher, right? I mean, how much just yourself in the last 3 weeks since you started like dabbling in vibe coding, how much would you say knowledge wise accumulated in this very short amount of time? I mean, Chris is doing stuff with Claude. Would you not admit that it feels like you are using a completely different tool now than you were using a month ago?
Oh, yeah. And because I'm treating it differently. Like an interesting thing, like these signals that are everywhere. It's like the Reddit thread, right? Like, used to be like, you know, half and half or more complaining than other stuff. It's like every post right now, like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is what I built. Like, constantly. Right. And it's always related to Opus 4.5. So that kind of thing gives you confidence. Like, cause when 4.1, this is like, man, talk about a different world from when 4.1 came out. Right. And this is where just all of the pieces getting put together, like the way it can compress the conversation in a way that to me seems like it's not losing context along the way, at least the context that I care about. Right. Which I'm highly paying attention, because I've been down on this whole idea in the past, like Nico said, of just going forever in the same chat, like just like a human. Like if you talk to somebody for 4 hours and then ask them what was talked about in the first half hour, they might hit the high points, but the chances that they misunderstand something based on how the rest of the conversation went, like highly likely. Yep. It's not happening. So because I allow that to happen, I set up the prompts differently. Like I don't try to figure everything out to save tokens. Like, you know, like all these things start to go away, which makes it more and more of a natural exchange. And in my experience, the more natural you can be with AI, the more successful like you're going to be, right? Because even, and this is a habit I haven't picked up yet, I've enjoyed watching you like just talk to it for everything. But even the process, which has pluses and minuses of taking something out of my head, and instead of voicing it, typing it onto the keyboard, right? It's immediate, like, overthinking, like how it's said, like fixing all the grammar, like, and all that stuff can bias, start to bias. It naturally does bias, like responses, how the conversation goes, which then has like a cascading effect. But without that, like, perceived limitation, it's just like, okay, I'm going to handle this like I want to handle it without trying to like play any games here. Right. Yeah. And that's like the opposite of the SaaS world that we've been living in, folks. And I'm here for it. And it's been fun to get back to this. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope everybody had a great holiday and welcome back to this week in December in 2025. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Nico.
Have a great one, guys.